Corey, you're back.
Back for the attack.
It's been...
It feels like we always have to catch up with each other. I hear this phrase, I caught up with Cal Smith, but I literally caught up with Cal Smith.
Yeah, like, it's not like we, you know, sitting around eating bonbons or something like that. We are running ministries. But anyway, it's great to have you back, brother.
Thanks, man.
It's been a while. And many people will know you, of course, but some will not. So you're the equipping evangelist, Corey McKenna, from the Cross Current Ministry. And your whole goal is to multiply ministry and equip the troops here in Canada. But some people tuning in, this will be the first time. So who is the equipping evangelist, Corey McKenna?
Yeah, so Corey McKenna started off back in Halifax, where I'm from, but ended up in pastoral ministry since 2002 and just was blessed through that. But then served as an equipping evangelist in the local church since about 2007, which were formative years for me to then step out in faith with my family and pioneer an equipping ministry called the Cross Current, which is a local missions ministry. And now recently, pioneering a podcast, the title The Equipping Evangelist, really all about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Yeah, for sure. So that whole phrase, equipping evangelist, that's going to, you know, some people are going to be familiar, but I'd say a lot of Christians would be like, well, what exactly is an equipping evangelist?
Yeah. And so it surprises folks that there's really only three uses of the word evangelist in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So Acts 21 speaks of Philip the evangelist. So we get an idea Philip's doing something with the gospel there.
Right.
And in 2 Timothy 4, most people are familiar with, you know, when Paul charges Timothy, do the work of an evangelist, which is simply sharing the gospel with non-Christians. Mm-hmm. But in Ephesians 4, which is really the focus on the church, on leadership, on discipleship, there's a phrase God uses whereby pastors, teachers, evangelists together equip the saints. Equip the saints is the ESV rendering of that.
Right.
I think a few of the conservative translations use that word, and equip is that idea of training. It actually means to train from sin to obedience. It's a very interesting term, but an equipping evangelist is really a discipleship role in the local church whereby God calls and gifts an individual to equip the saints, to actually disciple other Christians to share their faith in the local church. And so in and through the local church. So yeah, equipping evangelists, there's a qualifier there because, again, everyone's called to share the gospel. Everyone's called to do the work of the evangelist. But we believe that God does call people uniquely for the work of the equipping evangelist, which is really what we're all about.
Right. And I love the Cross Current tagline where it's like equipping by example, right? This has been your go-to mantra ever since I've known you and, ever since I've known you as a brother in the Lord, because we both got saved kind of radically early on. But I became the apologist and you became the evangelist. And of course, those overlap quite a bit.
They sure do,
But so equipping by example, that's what I've always heard you say is ever since you got the Cross Current started. So how do you do that then? You're going to equip me. I want to learn how to share my faith better.
We liken it to, if you and I were going to start a driving school. I mean, most people drive a vehicle, so they're not impressed with others who do.
Right.
But if you pictured if only a handful of people on planet Earth drove a vehicle, it would be kind of a strange...
An elite group,
right? It'd be super soldiers. So we would say, look, if you and I were planning to start a driving school, the two primary components you'd need would be the classroom and the field. Mm-hmm. It's not complicated. So you would study a manual of some sort. Even when you get your basic driver's license, you have to know distances of signs and what signs mean and, you know, changing oil and all that stuff. You have to know the book, as it were. But if you stop there, you'd never learn to drive. You've got to take the car into the field with somebody who's more experienced, has more expertise than you, and you've got to sit beside them, learn the aspects of driving that you seriously don't know and have never done before. And then you typically switch seats and now you drive and they watch you and they critique and all those kinds of things. So equipping by example necessitates that second step, which evangelism typically doesn't have. You talk to most, you know, pastors and churches, elders and churches, they'll say, oh yeah, we train in evangelism. Usually what that means is they have a book they study, namely the Bible, and maybe a manual of some sort. But very, very rarely do they have the obstacle course. Do they have the field component? And we're committed to the fact if you don't have the field component, you never really learn to drive. You never crest over that hill to the place that you're more comfortable with driving because you just simply don't do it enough.
Right. It'd be like an analogy of swimming, right? You could practice on the side of the, you know, the pool all you want, but then you got to get into it. I guess the other thing would be is if you've never ever seen someone swim and someone tells you, hey, you should go swimming, you'd be like, So fear is a big part of this.
Fear is a huge part of it.
A lot of Christians have never seen evangelism modeled. When's the last? That's why I think people like Ray Comfort, you know, in his ministry and in your ministry as well, when people see those clips of you guys actually sharing the gospel, it's like, wow, you can do that?
Absolutely.
Like, it's like the 4-minute mile, you know?
Yeah.
My youngest, or one of my youngest granddaughters, she was sleeping quite well. And a couple of weeks ago now, she's sitting there with her mom, this little girl, and they're watching a YouTube video. And in the YouTube video, this little toddler is in their crib and jumps over the crib and gets out. And my daughter looked down at her daughter, and she was like, and it was like she realized that night she got out of her crib.
Isn't
and
that
she's gone. She's been out of it ever since. It's the 4-minute mile. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that's how the human reacts.
And so just to, that's an amazing story, man, because just to take this one step further, it's not as though this is exclusive to evangelism. We would say example is severely lacking in evangelism, mm-hmm. probably more than any other discipline of the Christian life. But this is not foreign to anyone. I mean, no. If I was to say to you, you know, hey, man, do as I say, not as I do. Most children learn through imitation. You can say whatever you want, but they're watching what you do.
Yep.
And so, you know, if I was to talk about prayer, this would make sense, or Bible reading, or worship service. You could show me what's expected in any of those categories. Evangelism's just not like that. Evangelism's sort of this thing where we kind of are surrendered to do alone. And how many people know doing things alone all the time is not the best plan? Yeah, it's not
Jesus
the Christian
didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two
that's
by two.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Exactly true. Yeah.
So I know you've got a lot of things cooking with the Cross Current, different initiatives and stuff like that. And I know really the big reveal that's coming up soon is your Go Teams Media Initiative. And of course, I've been part of that with your first episode and stuff like that. But explain to people, what's Go Teams Media?
Yeah.
What's behind it? All that kind of stuff. What is it, first of all?
We had about a dozen-year run doing the Cross Current radio show. So really simple, street-level spoken word. You mm-hmm. can picture the man on the street, they would call me and our team, and we would walk up to people and just engage in gospel conversation right. real time. And people were very fascinated by this. They were encouraged by this. They were convicted by this. That's all good.
Right.
So we had a 12-year run doing that. But now we realize, wow, the internet is just limitless.
Right.
It's great to do that on radio. But now with video and with other forms of media, wow. So what we've done is we've circled back, we've learned from those 12 years, and we put together specifically a young adults, we would call a groundbreaking gospel ministry of young adults who are well-equipped to engage the culture in conversations surrounding news, current events that matter most, and connecting the culture to the church. We're right. talking frontline missions ministry surrounding the topics people are already talking about. So we're just going to join that conversation, point to Christ and the gospel, and we hope that people will come to church.
Right. Okay, so I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to that, and you kind of encapsulated, but that could take a lot of different, you know, that could work in a lot of different ways. So, okay, so you got this group of young people. Would you say 30 and under most of them are?
For sure.
Okay, so you got the Teen Titans here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good, yeah.
And so you got these young people, and they all have a passion for sharing the gospel.
Right.
Okay, so how is that functioning then? You say it's culturally based in terms of like different things that are going on, news items and stuff like that. So this team is, how would they determine, let's say, what topic they're going to
great question. So we would encourage them to just, and they already are, is just to stay in touch with the world around you. What's being talked about? And it doesn't take long on social media to go to, you know, Apple News or
go to Twitter. It's
go
a cesspool,
yeah,
but
there
there's
it is.
Lots
and
there.
So grab a story that people are already talking about for various reasons. And what we find, Cal, and you'll know this mm-hmm. as an apologist, you'll know that most conversation, Christians have this knee-jerk reaction of avoiding social issues, but yet those are the common ground where most good conversations start.
Right.
They're already talking about it.
Yep.
So we would illustratively say, if you picture starting on the common ground of a current event or a social issue,
yeah,
you know, you pick. And when we start there, then we drill down through meaningful questions to get to the bedrock issue. There's always a bedrock issue. There's always a topic hanging over that. So, for example, in this whole COVID season. Let's call it a season. I don't even call it. Seems like a permanent state of affairs right now.
But, in Canada, yeah.
But certainly one topic hanging over that could be fear. Mentioned fear.
That is the central topic.
That's probably the topic. And so what we encourage our team to do and equip our team to do is to get a biblical worldview on that topic. And now when they've got the topic of fear in hand, they can really address any topic within that category. Mm-hmm. And so what they'll do is they'll learn to, what we would say, think Christianly about that issue. What does Scripture say? They'll consult some expert resources, expert teachers on the topic, you know, mm-hmm. to get their head on straight biblically.
Right.
Colossians, Paul is crystal clear that there are philosophies that come against the Christian and their worldview that we have to confront mm-hmm. and understand.
Yep.
And so that would be the first thing. They'd learn to think Christianly about the issue. But then they need to learn to speak. That needs to translate into a conversation. So we would equip them with questions to build the bridge from that common ground issue into the Scriptures, into the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And we would drill down in conversation. And then really what it becomes is we expose that person they're talking to as someone who, you know, as an image bearer of God, they know certain things, but what they're doing is they're suppressing the truth that they do know. Mm-hmm. But then we'll bolster that with evidences, and if it's pamphlets, whatever we need
right.
to engage that person meaningfully and comprehensively on that topic. That's what we want to do. And obviously Christ is at the center of that because we know Christ is king over all things.
Right.
And so, yeah.
It's like assembling a team doing what Christians should be doing. So for example, if I had a challenge in my own life or an issue, or I see something going on, the first thing I try to do is go, okay, what does the Bible say about that? Right? I'd be looking into Scripture, I'd be praying about it and stuff like that. But here you've got a whole team that are taking on things. So they're not starting off as an apologist. They're not starting off as super educated in this area. They're just like me and you, but they say, okay, let's dive into this. And then they start kind of studying and sharing
Absolutely.
With each other.
I served as a pastor for many years, and I'm becoming less convinced that Christians do what you just said, actually. Mm-hmm. I think what Christians do is they parrot culture. I think they take their cues from secularists. They take their cues from the wrong sources. And I think they somehow land on the Bible and they try to reconcile their experience and what they're hearing around them with Scripture. That's totally backwards. Mm-hmm. We want to your point, we want to base our thinking on Scripture. What does Scripture have to say about this? We want to search the Scriptures in our mind. We want to search the Scriptures in front of us
right.
and come to a biblical conclusion because we know that's the right, that's the true, that's mm-hmm. the real conclusion. So absolutely, that is exactly what we want to equip these young people to do, is to have that Christian worldview. But what we were doing with the Cross Current Radio show, that there was a season for it, and it was helpful for people, but we were more impressing than inspiring. Let me explain what I mean by that. When you hear the end result, you hear someone like Ray Comfort and you go, wow.
Right.
99 times out of 100, when I ask, what do you mean by wow? It comes down to, I could never do that.
Right.
Better him than me,
yeah.
right? And let's be honest, here's Ray hunting the beach, guy with the mohawk. I mean, I've preached with Ray.
Yeah.
I've had lunch with Ray. I love Ray Comfort.
Yeah. Who doesn't? They just look at him and go, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, that is not the pathway to biblical discipleship. Can mm-hmm. you imagine if everything that the Scripture said you should be doing, you could say, man, I could never do that.
Yeah,
what would you do then?
It's like taking your favorite athlete and saying, I got to be that guy just to be able to go play basketball or golf or something. But you're never going to do it.
I'm not undermining Ray's ministry. He does amazing ministry.
Yeah.
But what we're doing is we're actually circling back. You know, it's like the 24 show. We're going back to how we got there. Well, how did this happen? So it's sort of like showing the end result and saying, hey,
right.
so let's demystify this a little bit.
Yeah.
This isn't rocket science. When you're trained in a way that's biblical and you learn to think from Scripture, you learn to speak from Scripture, and you learn to live like Christ in this world, to be really honest, I do believe people can do this. They can do it at the water cooler.
Yeah.
They can do this in the cafeteria. They can do this around Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
I just don't know if many are equipped that way. I wasn't, if I can just be honest.
Right.
So
you're going to show the end result. You're going to be able to see video of these young people in action, interacting with the culture. But what you're really doing is rewinding, like, and go, okay, this is where they first got the idea. Then they're going to do their own Bible reading and discuss amongst themselves. Then they actually get special training too, right? That was what I noticed in, you know, because I took part in your first episode and you got a hold of me and just said, hey, you know, well, actually they got a hold of me and said, hey, we want to come over and interview you because the first topic you chose was origins mm-hmm. In culture and stuff like that. And so, yeah, they came over, very professional group, asked me some very intriguing questions. They produced some information on that. And of course, that's part of the, going to be part of the first episode that you guys produce. But it was also part of the Gulp Teams Media pilot program that you had.
That's right.
Like kind of like a way for your supporters to come together and see this initiative and stuff like that.
Right.
And so tell us more about that.
Yeah. So we called it the Gospel Media Missions Gala, a gala event, and obviously it's been tricky to do banquets and things.
Right. In person stuff. Yeah.
In person, but also it was great to just leverage the media platform. Anyway, that's where that whole program is headed. So what we did is we put together a 1-hour top to bottom Gospel Media Missions Gala, which features the pilot program of Go Teams Media, mm-hmm. which you were featured as well, Cal, and we did the Origins episode. And so again, in that framework, we learned to think Christianly about origins.
Right.
So we of course talked to you, and then we learned to speak Christianly about origins. So we put together, well-worded, intelligent scripts to start from the issues of, I think we went into things like aliens and extraterrestrials.
Yeah. The things that will come up in Story of Evolution.
Just take your pick. I mean, in that category, take your pick. And so we show the footage of that as well. But then there's sort of campfire conversation surrounding, how did this change us? How will this change the way we live? How will this impact the way we think? And so the gala event showed the 1 hour, it's a 1 hour program that was the pilot episode. But then we had this really inspiring panel conversation with these passionate young adults in hope that those watching caught their fire and were, again, not so much impressed by the outcome, but inspired that they could do it too.
Yeah, I tuned in and as a supporter of your ministry, obviously. And what I recognized during the gala and what I recognized when they came over, to interview me, these weren't people that were super well-versed in what I was saying. When they were asking me questions and I was giving them answers, you could see them going, oh, yeah. So what I found with your gala and in the interviews that you did, I was like, man, people are going to be able to relate to those young people because they're just average people.
We hope so.
They're not someone who's, 20 years of ministry and all this kind of stuff. They're just excited about sharing Jesus with people. And they realize, well, if I'm going to go out and do battle, I should probably, put on a bit of armor, probably have some knowledge, tactics, strategies, things I might be able to do, and then be able to go and engage effectively, right?
That's really what they're doing. And so often when you stage evangelism encounters, again, whether it's Ray or whether it's our radio broadcast, it isn't really like real life. I mean, the water cooler is much different than the park when you're going out to do street evangelism.
Right. Here's a mic and cameras.
Exactly.
People are like, whoa,
Exactly. So what we're hoping is that as people learn to just process their experience with the media, first of all, do that critically. I mean, this isn't just for young adults. What about moms and dads who want to equip their kids to think this way, mm-hmm. In a really, really secular, hard world? So how do you process this biblically? But it's got to turn into gospel witness. One guy said, I think it was John MacArthur, pretty good quote here, if the goal wasn't evangelism, we wouldn't be here. We'd be there.
I mean, right.
Discipleship and evangelism are obviously the whole core of the Great Commission. So definitely we want to equip people for everyday conversations about Christ. Mm-hmm. Wherever you walk, just picture if you had a whole army of missionaries going into the political sphere, going into the business area, going into schools, going... This is what we all hopefully desire, but we hope and pray that Go Teams Media will really really help ground that process and give people tools and mm-hmm. training to be able to do this themselves. You're absolutely right.
I mean, everything's about diversity these days. But in a true sense, what I noticed about your team that you've got together is they are diverse. Like some of them are in relationships, some of them aren't in relationships, some of them are in school, some of them have jobs. There should be somebody there that people can watch and go, I can relate to that person.
Yeah.
Because I think these are the other stumbling blocks. Well, I could do that, but I've got a job. Or I could do that, but I'm in a relationship right now, right? What you're showing people is like, no, the average person could just do this.
Yeah, actually, and by design, it's amazing how kind God was because he pulled that team together. Now, obviously, we had to invite people, but the people that sort of stood up to be counted to be part of Go Teams Media, it's amazing, even culturally diverse. So you've got people who've grown up in the church, not grown up in the church. People who are, there's several Asian team members, and mm-hmm. then there's a gentleman from Africa, Tomi. Mm-hmm. Different perspectives, right. Very different perspectives. So you put that all together, and bam, you're absolutely right. The goal is as a gospel missions and evangelism leader is really to remove excuses. To your point, we want people to realize this isn't a personality type. It's not a certain catchphrase that you just keep repeating. It's really just getting grounded in the Bible, taking an interest in the people around you, and just learning how to engage your culture meaningfully through conversation. That's kind of evangelism 101, really.
Yeah, it's actually, it could be more intimidating. Sometimes when I'm speaking with somebody, you don't want to like hit them with a fire hose full of stuff. Obviously, as an evangelist, you can handle yourself in a one-off conversation. I can do the same, et cetera. But you can, have you ever got into a conversation with somebody and you initiated it, and then you realize, oh no, they know a lot more about this than I do.
Yeah.
and it's kind of like you're like backing out, whereas if they're just, you know, casual about it or whatever like that, they can give you some good insight, but you don't feel like, oh, I'm just some dummy. I didn't, you know, I think that can happen sometimes when you start sharing the gospel with people and you're like, oh, what about this? And blah, 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 you know, and you're giving all these apologetics and people are just like,
definitely.
Like, you know, and they're scared. They don't want to engage anymore. I think you've got a really relatable team. You know, they say, the statistics haven't changed. 70% of young people from Christian home going to public schools are walking away from the faith. How do you see this as alleviating that, helping, you know, young people to realize, wait a sec, the Christian faith is something, you know, I'm participating in, that's real, that's active. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to help?
Yeah, I think it's interesting running kind of parallel with that 70% stat. You still have a millennial generation, if I can call them that, that are activists. Mm-hmm. They want to do something. I mean, they are so tired of people blowing smoke. They're so tired of people saying one thing and doing another. And I'm not saying they're doing the right thing. Some are doing good things, but they're not grounded in the gospel, which is not a great idea. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're actually leaning into that fact that they want to do something, but we're grounding them in the truths of Scripture. And when you, again, equip by example, when you demonstrate discipleship for them, it's amazing now that how the light bulb goes on and they get flat out excited. Testimonies build. They see what God does when we step out in faith. Mm-hmm. And we just know that as more and more and more people tune into this type of programming, they're going to be inspired and they're going to be equipped. Inspiring sounds so hollow sometimes. It sounds like
hype or something. Yeah.
Right. But we would say, no. We're going to encourage and equip you. And then we're going to show you. We're going to demonstrate for you what's expected. And again, in evangelism, Cal, I am just become convinced over the years that has not been the way we've trained people. We haven't discipled people through demonstration. We've said, do as I say, not as I do. And we just hope that as they see these young people doing what they're doing, and as they, again, we kind of demystify evangelism by laying out the process and inviting them to take part in a similar process, that I think they're going to be equipped, but they're also going to be, again, by example, mm-hmm. shown how to do this.
Yeah, I kind of think, look at this as kind of a fitness analogy. You know, you might watch some person talking about physical fitness and they're just, you know, in super duper shape and stuff. And then, you know, this is December, we're recording this. So, you know, we're all going to eat a whole bunch of stuff here shortly. Yeah. And then we're going to, you know, it's going to be January and the New Year's resolutions and stuff. And you're going to see someone like that and you go, that's what I want. But it's a bridge too far. It's the superhero again. But if you just make decisions to take these little incremental steps, and all of a sudden you've got a very healthy person. They're not a superhero. That's not their job. They still got to be a mom or a dad or this or that and the other thing. But they're healthy. They eat right. You know, they're in good shape and they've got good healthy living. I think that's kind of what I see this Go Teams Media like. You know, you can be the superhero, so to speak. But your team is just going to be a bunch of healthy young Christians out there sharing the gospel. And when cultural issues come their way, they go, how do we get equipped with this? Well, we look at the issue, we look at what the Word of God says, and then we focus that and go have some conversations with family, friends, and mm-hmm. sometimes just strangers. And then you're going to be able to demonstrate that entire process.
It's so true, Cal. And I think one negative impact of social media, of you know, Twitter culture, now we've got TikTok, and I call it, you know, sort of that sound bite soul winning. Right. I think it's great to put a stone in someone's shoe. I think Greg Kokel talks about that. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Have a quick water cooler conversation to seed their thinking with something. But you and I both know getting in shape, learning to drive, growing in sanctification takes time.
Yep.
And time is not something people give a lot of thought to. I mean, they just want things instantly. We get things, everything's instant right now.
Yeah.
And whether it's fast food, well, fast evangelism, in my experience, has not been the process. I mean, I've been at this since about 2006. And so it shouldn't surprise people that when they talk to someone like you, or they talk, how long you've been speaking on 20 years evolution. 20 years. I mean, it says of Paul, Paul went into here and he spent, I don't know how many years it was, I should probably know, but like 14 years or whatever. 14 years the guy spent with one group of people.
Yeah.
No wonder there was quality ministry coming out of that place.
Yeah.
So we're encouraging people to take a deep breath and realize there's a process. We've got to be patient with the process. However, if you have a trainer who's further along, who can have the compassion and have the expertise to put one foot in front of the other and allow you to do that as well, you will grow. Mm-hmm. You will grow in evangelism, but it takes time. It takes time. And it's a very lost culture. And you and I, we talk a lot about Acts 17. And Paul had a long game in mind there. I mean, Peter goes into Jerusalem. He speaks to a group of Jewish people. He just basically puts the pieces of the Torah, the puzzle, together for them. And they knew Messiah was coming. Right.
Yep.
They knew who he was, and he lays out this 3-point sermon. Messiah's come, you killed and repent. I mean, that's the sermon. And thousands of people. Poor old Paul. He goes into Mars Hill, different result. A few followed Paul. Some said, we need more information. I believe this is a we need more information culture. We need to be willing to go the distance, and it's gonna take some time.
Yeah. It's a long game.
Ourselves,
it's not a short game.
It's a long game. And someone listening just kind of went, really? Like I really do believe this is a huge challenge for us as equippers in a culture that's just so used to things happening very quickly.
Yeah. So now that we've kind of walked through this, because I think people will have a much better understanding of what GoTeams Media is all about. And so you're going to be producing several of these programs, right? Where people are going to be able to see the entire process.
Right.
Right. They're going to see. So you're not just getting the end result. It's not microwave. It's like, boom, there you go. There's them sharing the gospel. You're going to see that whole backstory and stuff. And so this whole pilot program that you did, right, mm-hmm. for your gala. How can people access that so that they can watch that? I think people would be really excited about checking that out.
So if they go to thecrosscurrent.com/gala, mm-hmm. they can register to receive a link to a private page, a private guest page that we've set up. I was well aware, you probably mentioned this to me as well, when you schedule something for an online event, let's be honest, it's the Netflix culture. People want to watch when they want to watch. So
right.
we wanted to pull that aside, set it up privately so people could watch whenever they want to watch. Mm-hmm. And so now if they go to thecrosscurrent.com/gala, there's a short video that promotes the event. It just kind of explains it. And then there's just a button to receive a link whereby they can go they can have the private viewing on their own and they just watch it. It's mm-hmm. a one hour top to bottom.
Awesome. Yeah, I encourage people to do that. If you're new to the origins debate too, they actually asked some really good questions. There was some great content there that was delved into. So it really relates to the answers in Genesis.
Yeah, and for your viewers, I mean, again, the responses you gave about the relevance of the issue and those big picture considerations, that's what the average person needs to understand. This is why we talk about relevance of mm-hmm. whatever. In your world, the relevance of the authority of Scripture. That's really what this is about.
Yeah.
So people will be well equipped if they listen to it, not just for supporting our ministry, which is great, but for also discipling their families, discipling their small groups. It'll be very helpful.
I want to circle back to this whole idea of an equipping evangelist, because this is, your new initiative. It's kind of that new spring chicken kind of packaging mm-hmm. of what your ministry does. But, you've often talked about the fact that if you want to multiply ministry in a church leaders, they need to get involved. Your ministry, the Cross Current, has partnerships with several local churches. And you're actually helping them produce whole evangelism programs within their church, right? Mm-hmm. Most churches that I've found, if you ask them, do you have an evangelism outreach committee? They go like, oh yeah. And then what is it? Well, we have a church barbecue where we invite family and friends and we share the gospel. It's like, yeah, but how many people are showing up to this thing? Your whole thing is like, no, let's get someone on the inside that we can train up. They can equip. You get that multiplication effect. Tell us about that process as an equipping evangelist.
Yeah. And so again, within that Ephesians 4 framework of God gives pastors. So we get that. I mean, you wouldn't airlift in a pastor and expect to have, a normalized shepherding experience, right? You wouldn't airlift in a teacher every 6 months to you would have an in-house mm-hmm. lead to care for that. And I think evangelism is that important. And that's why the Holy Spirit probably put this here. We would say, again, we're all called to do the work of an evangelist, which is sharing the gospel, but God gives churches equipping evangelists is what we call that. And so this is not actually that new. We, in 2012, we hosted our first Equipping Evangelist Conference. We called it something different back then, but it was almost 10 years ago now, in London here, and very well received, huge fruit from this, whereby we pulled together candidates who could be equipping evangelists. Let's be honest, this is kind of new.
Right.
I mean, how would you know this person? What are the qualifications of this person? And we have a kind of a short list of probably what to be looking for.
Right.
And because it's more of a discipleship role, we would say it's someone who is submitted to leadership, someone who's obviously passionate about the gospel, someone who has a heart for the local church, for equipping other people, and someone who wants to grow in this area. That's maybe a candidate. But what the process looks like is we want to help local churches, first of all, discern those people. Who might that person be in my local church? Just to be clear, this is someone who already worships within your church family.
Right. You're not bringing an outsider, so to speak.
You're not bringing an outside person in. And ideally, there's someone who has a real job that is already in touch with non-Christians. So we get both the church and the culture. And that's really the bridge. The church and the culture, that's the equipping evangelist. And so what we've done is we have this dedicated ministry of the Cross Current now. We've called Equipping Evangelists. And Equipping Evangelists is really a ministry with three components. We have coaching. We have a conference, and then we have the podcast that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
The coaching is very straightforward. Again, we help churches and church leaders first discern those candidates and then disciple them to be equipping evangelists in their own local churches. How do I multiply gospel ministry church-wide within my own body of believers? Mm-hmm. Most people have never approached this subject. What they've done is they've kind of isolated a handful of people that are particularly zealous, often... Frankly, those aren't the ones that are discipling. They're more evangelizing. We would say, no, this is the multiplicative ministry in your church. So that's the first thing is coaching. And then we've got scheduled officially for May of 2022 an Equipping Evangelist Conference in Toronto, biggest sort of stage we could get our hands on in terms of cultural diversity. And so that'll be happening there. And this really facilitates an exclusive opportunity for an in-person meeting together, whereby they can explore, and this is key, explore and experience, that's what we talked about earlier, the example of evangelism. So they'll be learning from world-class teachers there. There will be the classroom component, but we will be going out into the field as well in Toronto and sharing the good news. So they'll get a kind of a 360 on what is this and how do I take this back to my church and build upon it. And then the podcast, The Equipping Evangelist, really is just trying to center folks around, this is someone who's blazed the trail. This is someone who's done this for years. This is a real thing. This is the fruitful ministry. And that really the goal of The Equipping Evangelist. It's a what I call an intensely practical audio video podcast that whereby I personally share my experience and my expertise to equip entire churches for evangelism together.
Right.
That's going to send someone into a bit of a twist here because most people envision evangelism as a select few.
Right.
We say that's not the New Testament.
It's a corporate.
It's a corporate thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think many pastors, and for the pastors that are listening, I hope they catch this, especially those people local here in Ontario, that there is an actual ministry that I, as a pastor, can go ring, 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 phone up someone like yourself, and you will actually come in and do like a gospel health assessment, right? You've got a whole diagnostic program so that you can run a church through and say, hey, these are areas you guys are doing great in. How about this? And then, and really see how healthy the church is at, you know, embedding themselves into the community, getting gospel shared, interaction with community and all that stuff. And if you just haven't done that before, that's no problem. We've got an expert group that can come in and help you start that process.
Absolutely. And thanks for mentioning the Gospel Health Report, Cal. And they can go to gospelhealthreport.com to even get a sort of a sneak peek at that. But this is a totally free resource. So we developed this with our own on our own dime, as it were, with our in-house resources. We have a bunch of partner ministries that to help with this and churches. And this is an amazing tool whereby you can get a bit of a triage on how is your church doing right now. And that you think of just the medical world, it's great to get a checkup.
Yep.
How are we doing? And so that's exactly what that is. Totally free, whereby you can run your church through a gospel health report. It includes a follow-up consult just to kind of like give the results and give a few kind of suggestions for what could be next. No strings attached whatsoever. And that obviously now leads to more intentional discipleship. And you and I will both know in our worlds that it always, always includes evangelism and apologetics training.
Yep.
Because that's the world we live in. But there's a whole bunch of categories that we explore, including the gospel itself, including evangelism, apologetics, leadership. You know, we get into prayer. There's a whole bunch of things that centers on that allows you to kind of get a pulse on how you're doing. But here it is, related to gospel ministry. This isn't just kind of like swirling around out here. The question that's asked is, how healthy are we in this category as it relates to gospel ministry?
Right.
And a lot of people, frankly, as a pastor, it took me years to thread the needle on how does family relate to gospel ministry? Mm. Most people don't think that way. They just try to raise their families faithfully. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
But
a bit compartmentalized.
Everything centers ultimately on the gospel.
Yeah. You know, back to the health analogy, a couple of years ago now, just very busy with ministry, all sorts of things. And I decided like, wow, I need to lose some weight. I got up to about 240, which is just not a healthy weight for me. And I just said, well, now we all know what we're supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to eat less and I'm supposed to exercise. So the exercise part, I just dove into that and I got myself down to about 210, mm-hmm. you know, just through just a little bit of discipline. But to get that extra mile, so to speak, and really get myself down to the healthy weight that I wanted to be, or healthier, I should say, I decided to really look into the nutrition aspect because I'm just not a young man anymore. So I just can't just exercise my way out of this. And I think a lot of people will be like, well, I eat really healthy. I don't know why I've got some extra weight. Well, I just looked into it and it's very simple. It's like you're a machine. You need a certain amount of fuel every day. That's calories. And if you just figure out, they give you a profile that was on a website and what's your gender and what do you weigh and what do you want to be and all this stuff. And here's how many calories you need to do. And it's just an assessment. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I eat healthy, but until I started tracking it, until I had an outside source come in and actually go through, it's like, well, you're eating really healthy, except for the four Twizzlers you had on the way past the fridge. Mm-hmm. And then you grabbed that cookie and you did this and you did that. And you realize, wow, like this takes some discipline
to
get in there. So you've done this for many, many years. You can come in and help them just do a diagnostic and just say, hey, this isn't like a criticism. This is just where you're at. Where do you want to be?
In as much, Cal, as you could now take what you learned and you could disciple me through that,
mm-hmm.
how to be healthier, how to eat healthy, how to exercise. You could do the same thing. The exact same premise. We do the same thing for churches. And as a pastor, that's my heart. You know, I get it. There's often this cats and dogs thing that emerges with evangelists and pastors for lots of reasons, mm-hmm. because of, I just frankly think it's a misunderstanding of respective ministries. But if we center things on the local church, we read Ephesians chapter 4, the banner over Ephesians 4 in most Bibles is something about unity. Something about unity unity of the Spirit specifically. And so evangelists, the primary role of an equipping evangelist is to contend for unity in the gospel. Now, it goes further than that, but it's certainly not less than that.
No.
and so I just believe that that I would just say it this way. If I was a pastor and I was trying to get healthier in gospel ministry, because this, not to be harsh, but this is not optional. I mean, you either get healthier in gospel ministry in some way or you'd cease to be. I mm-hmm. mean, you know, that's the reality. And it seems as though a lot of churches are closing their doors right now. Mm-hmm. There's been a really hard season here. I would reach out to a ministry that could help.
Absolutely.
Whether that's Answering Genesis, whether that's the Cross Current. I mean, this is what we're here for. And we really do enjoy serving churches. And that's what we're...
Absolutely. Well, that's great. We'll have you back again. Just end up here. How do people get a hold of you with the ministry, the Cross Current? And how do they subscribe to your podcast?
Yeah, so if people go to thecrosscurrent.com, that's kind of the flagship website of The Cross Current. But theequippingevangelist.com is going to send them to the podcast site, whereby they can, again, it's video and it's audio, so depending on what people enjoy. And if it was me, looking at me, I'd go audio, frankly. Not much to look at, but they go to theequippingevangelist.com and they can subscribe there.
That's awesome. Well, okay. Thanks, brother. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.